Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. This is another exciting edition of Lens Weekend. I'm your host, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie. Say good hi to the good people, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, so this week's episode is going to be for November 18th, 2023. We got Thanksgiving coming up next week. And we're all basically preparing for it. And yeah, you know, especially if you're like me and you work at a grocery store, you know, there's just a bunch of things you got to deal with, but we'll be getting to that. But yeah, so what are we going to be talking about this episode? Well, first and foremost, there is, of course, more story about the ongoing conflict in Israel. There's this weird shit that's been going on in TikTok. Elon Musk is doing Elon Musk things. There's change going on at Supreme Court. There was some stuff that happened over in Congress with the House trying to impeach the Homeland Secretary. And somebody almost got into a fist fight during a committee hearing. And it is just the funniest damn thing I've ever seen. And on top of all that, we got some other stuff, including a volcano in Iceland that's just about ready to blow its top just any minute now at this point. And of course, we got a bunch of entertainment related stuff, including a bunch of stuff from Netflix, a new trailer for a movie. And we also finally got a trailer for Disney's adaptation of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. And it already looks so much better than that garbage movie that came out years ago. But yeah, we got all of that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. And so, yeah, as always, let's start off as we typically do. As is tradition, talking about all the shit we've been up to this week, up to this moment. And as always, as is again tradition, we start with Chris. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, I did not realize Thanksgiving was so close until Monday.
Yeah, same here.
I heard somebody say Happy Thanksgiving. I'm like, what an idiot. That's like 2 or 3 weeks away. Then I looked at the calendar and I was like, oh, that's in a week and a half.
Yep.
Fuck. Okay.
Same shit with Christmas, dude. It's like, you know, it's Thanksgiving comes, it's like, yeah, well, at least I got a little bit of a wait until Christmas, and then the next thing you know, you wake up and it's Christmas morning and you're like, shit.
Yeah. This year's a bit different than usual because Halloween was on a Tuesday and Thanksgiving is early this year because of the way the calendar is. So it's essentially 3 weeks difference basically between the two versus usually having them like about 4 weeks difference. So yeah, like the difference between Thanksgiving and Christmas will be a bit further apart, it feels like. But yeah, that's kind of the realization I had is like, oh, it's like a week away. So that's not great, but whatever. Been watching some stuff. Scott Pilgrim Takes Off on Netflix. Very, very good series. It doesn't do what you think it's going to do.
Yeah.
You might think like it's going to be an adaptation, you know, the comics or the movie or whatever. That's kind of that story. And it very much does its own thing. Not going to spoil anything about what it's doing there, but it does reference the movie and that kind of stuff. And the supposed canon. But they do their own fun thing here that ends in a pretty cool place that's, yeah, I'm able to do more of that. That'd be cool. But yeah, they get to some fun cameos in there beyond just the original cast of the movie. Like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, who are mainstays in Edgar Wright movies, make appearances here as two certain characters that just keep showing up often. So, but yeah, it's a very good anime series that people should definitely check out.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of good music in there. So yeah, that's it's one to check out. Also watched Five Nights at Freddy's on Peacock.
Yeah.
Which was solid for what it was. I don't know how much of the lore it actually covers. Because I've only ever seen the first game. seen people playing that, and that's, I know they've done a lot more with the lore and the others, and the spinoffs and all that kind of stuff, so I don't know. But it was fine for what it was. It's got all the weird premise with the main characters who is dealing with a lot of trauma from his childhood that leaves him in care of his little sister after his parents have died. And so he's dealing with that and kind of gets constantly fired from jobs and seems to take this one last one that involves a security gig that, you know, is at this abandoned, you know, kids restaurant thing. And yeah, things go sideways. You can never tell it's more younger oriented because there's not a ton of gore to this. But they do.
Like, I mean, to be fair, the games don't really have a lot of gore in them either.
Yeah, though that's probably more of a product of the budget that they had.
Well, yeah, that is. I mean, the first game was, I mean, the first couple of games were like made by like one, were made by that, by Scott Cawthon himself and nobody else. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that looks, that was pretty good. So I imagine they'll probably make more of that because there's a huge audience for that thing. So yeah, there's that. Other thing, I've been watching Loki season 2. I'm about halfway through this, but this has been pretty good. Dealing with the aftermath of the first season kind of stuff, and yeah, doing some neat stuff, especially when you got Ki-Hui Kwan in it from, you know, the various movies, but or recently, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Doing a good job is this guy that's worked at the TVA for, you know, forever. So much so that Mobius shows up and is like, oh, I haven't seen you in like 400 years. Kind of thing. And it's like, yep, okay. Lots of weird stuff going on. But yeah, that's pretty good. So I'm definitely going to finish that here in the next few days. But yeah, there's that. Pretty much it for things I've been watching. The only thing was like watching more Yu Yu Hakusho since the trailer came out for the Netflix thing. I was like, I need to get back to that. And I'm in the middle of the Dark Tournament. So
yeah,
that's been fun. Really like some of the, like my favorite characters that aren't on Urameshi's team are like Chu in the first round. Who's the guy that's, you know, a drunk fighter, kind of specializes in that. And then they kind of come to a stalemate and he proposes like, what if we finish this off with a knife edge death match? And it's like, yeah, this was one of the, probably one of the best moments in anime tournaments history. Like the only thing that would top it probably in the years later is Rock Lee unveiling that he's been wearing extremely heavy weights the entire time when he's fighting Gaara and proceeds to beat the shit out of him with that. That's another one of those kind of moments. But yeah, that's some good stuff. And Jin in the third round, I think it is, where he's the, in the English dub, he has a Scottish accent that is just incredible.
Yeah.
And he very much has the same kind of attitude that Yusuke has, is just loving to fight. And they're both very much, you know, like, yeah, we're both fucked up fighters that just want to fight, not really care about the politics or whatever behind everything. So yeah, that's been fun as well. For games I've been playing, some Teardown. It's on PlayStation Plus for this month. So that's been fun on consoles. It's, you know, runs better than my PC can handle the game, though the mods and levels and such that it has are more capable of handling that. Though one of the, so they have mods built into the game, then they have a mod pack that's free to download to add some more stuff. Usually adds a few levels and some weapons and such. And there's one that comes, I think, in the mod pack DLC that is called A California Home. It's just like this elaborate home that somebody made. And through my various attempts to destroy it, it's caused a lot of frame rate issues. Mm. Unsurprisingly, but it's kind of a... there's times you can like really fuck up the frame rates with that stuff, and the game happily lets you do that stuff. They have options for, you know, unlocking all the weapons and tools that you have, and unlocking all the levels so you can play the campaign, you know, as it normally is, or you can kind of unlock some stuff. Like all the mods, all the mod weapons are overridden with that stuff, so that you can show up in the early campaign missions, even though it wasn't built for that stuff. But also, mm-hmm. a lot of those missions will be like, you know, they got fire alarms, so maybe don't, you know, burn everything down. That'd be a bad idea, kind of stuff. So yeah, they do have some stuff in there to kind of keep you from just messing with everything. But the sandbox stuff is kind of where it's at its most fun, to just kind of goof around in these different areas and try out different things and see what kind of chaos you can deal with. So yeah, they got some fun ways to blow things up. So yeah, that's been fun to do in Teardown.
Mm-hmm.
And the other game I put some time in this week is Power Wash Simulator, because they put out their big Back to the Future DLC, which has some pretty fun stuff to it. The premise is a bit weirder than the other licensed packs, where all that stuff, you're just kind of hired for a job in those worlds to do stuff, whereas in this, you're hired by the film producer to somehow, I guess, go back in time to work on the movies. And you're just power washing, you know, like the Doc's van at the at their first test of the DeLorean. You're just like washing his van, and then you get to do the DeLorean for the second job. And you're at, like, you know, Twin Pines Mall. Looks really nice. They got some really good, like, wet pavement stuff going on there, and all that. And yeah, they do all the fan service as you expect. No music as far as I recall, which is good, because that's keeps that stuff pretty easy to stream and do videos of. This is a game that has a soundtrack on Steam that has two songs in it. One for that carousel, that song, and the song at the end of the game when you beat it in the credits, which is like, all right, it's like $2 for the soundtrack, and it's only two songs. One you never want to listen to, and one you do. So yeah, that's been pretty much as I'm working my way through that. So that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I am still playing. I'm actually almost done with Alan Wake 2. That whole game is just a trip from beginning to end, and it's just it's really hard to talk about because there's so much stuff that I could spoil so easily. Like there's a whole part that's basically a musical. There's a this like thing that happens between Saga, and she finds out about who her grandparents are and its relation to Bright Falls, and it's just it's an amazing game. It's definitely a game of the year contender for me, definitely. Only problem is that I keep having an issue with the game crashing on me on my Xbox, but you know, I mean, it's loaded onto my system, so it's not like I can't just go back and play it again. Only slightly annoying, but yeah, the game itself is just a lot of fun, really enjoyable. So yeah, I highly recommend it. I've also started playing Shovel Knight Treasure Trove again, because I had beaten the Plague Knight one, and I was needing to get back to some of the others. And so I've been playing King Knight's one, the King of Cards. And now, Chris, you've played all of these already, right?
Yeah, not through them, but I've definitely played a few hours
of Okay, each. So you remember how the King of Cards one is basically like two games in one. On the one hand, it's a fairly you know, like a fairly standard sort of Shovel Knight game, only this time, you know, King Knight has a different move set like all the other ones, everything. And those action levels are actually a lot shorter than the other ones are.
Yeah.
But then there's the other half, which is the card game. And honestly, that's probably like where the bulk of the game's actual challenge is. Because this card game is hard as balls, man. It seems really simple on the surface, but the game throws so many curveballs at you to redo the basic premise that it's, you know, let's just say it's good that the game provides you with cheats that you can actually buy, because otherwise this game would be damn near impossible. But like the whole sort of the idea of the game is King Knight, who is famously like the first member of the Order of No Quarter that you actually fight in the original Shovel Knight game. He's a really pompous prick who thinks he's some kind of king and he has his own kingdom and everything. And he also happens to be one of the easiest bosses in the game. Let's be honest. The idea is that, you know, he basically still lives with his mother, and his mother is like, you know, encouraging him like, yes, you can be a king someday. And so he comes up with this idea. He's like, there's this tournament called, you know, Joust, where if you end up coming out champion, you can become the king of cards. And somehow he gets it into his head that this will let him be king of the realm. So he decides to set out to, you know, win the Joust tournament. And so you end up going to various Joust houses all over the map, where you fight a bunch of people and in games of Joust leading up to their champion. I believe the first one is like King Pridemore, although you don't actually have to play him in Joust. The King Pridemore thing is literally just a regular boss fight. But there's also like the Truple King is the second one, I believe. I don't remember what the third one is supposed to be. I haven't gotten that far. But yeah, and it's like you'll see a bunch of like old Shovel Knight characters. You'll also see some new ones you can bring in. Because eventually what ends up happening is that after you sort of finish the first sort of mini tournament in Joust, you end up coming across Bard Knight. And Bard Knight has basically started working with this dude who's like an air pirate, more or less, who's like got like an airship and everything. And basically a lot of the game is you trying to recruit other people into your crew so that you can become, you know, king of the realm. And some of these include like older members like Mona, you know, Plague Knight's assistant / girlfriend, you know, ends up becoming one of them. King Pridemore ends up joining you for a little while. He ends up flirting with King Knight's mom, which really doesn't like to see. Stuff like that. And, oh, yeah, you know those propeller rats that you keep seeing in all those games that just sort of like, who the hell would just attach a propeller to some poor rat? And you find out who it is. It's King Knight. He's the one who's been doing it this entire time. Which is somehow hilarious and pathetic at the same time. You know, again, it's a Shovel Knight game, and all of them are just incredibly fun and entertaining. Heavily recommend. That's the games portion, more or less. As for other stuff, music, Chris, you might have already heard of this. You know that they released a new Beatles single like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Now and Then.
It was like based on an old demo thing they did.
Oh man, the song was like 50 years in the making, almost. Basically what happened is John Lennon back in, I think it was like 1978, 1979, he recorded this demo for this song called Now and Then. It's just him and a piano. And then, of course, you know, he was murdered in 1980 by Mark David Chapman. So, of course, that means, you know, that made a Beatles reunion a permanent non-thing that can ever happen. But then in the 90s, the Beatles were getting ready to release Anthology, which was like this box set of like a bunch of their stuff. And one of the things they were trying to do is they were trying to find like some old demos and stuff to put together that they hoped that they could maybe, you know, polish off and release as new singles. Now, they did manage to do this with one song called Free as a Bird, which was a huge hit. But Now and Then was one of the songs they were trying to do, and there's even footage of like McCartney and then still very much alive George Harrison laying down some guitar parts on a tape player to try and do it. But unfortunately, at the time, the technology just wasn't there to shape up the song, you know. So again, it ended up sort of going back into the archives. And then, of course, George Harrison died in, what was it? I think it was like 2003, from cancer. And so now there was two. And then everybody knows Peter Jackson, he managed to release and restore that shelved documentary of the Beatles when they were recording the stuff for Let It Be, which, amongst other things, meant they were able to restore a bunch of old footage and some audio. And at some point, they managed to get a hold of this old demo that they had done with George Harrison's guitar parts put on it. And they decided, you know what? We got the tech now. It's time we can go back in the studio, clean this up, and release this as a new song. And that's exactly what they did. They got Ringo to come in to, you know, put some drum tracks and his vocals. And Paul McCartney came in to add some piano and his famous bass guitar and his vocals. And I got to tell you, the song is actually like, it's actually pretty good. Like, it's not just like a novelty because it's the last Beatles song. It's legitimately a good song. But it's also really bittersweet because, like, it's, you know, it's John Lennon, you know, it's like forever 40-something years old John Lennon with like 80-year-old Paul McCartney's vocals behind it. And it's, I don't know, man, it's bittersweet to hear it. But yeah, so that happened. Last but not least, just Thanksgiving shit, man. Like I said, I work at a grocery store, and Thanksgiving is like, it's the single most hectic time of the year because everybody's trying to get their turkey and their sweet potatoes and their cranberry sauce and all that.
And they're assholes about it.
Oh, God, yes. They are all assholes about it. And I don't know if you've ever handled one of those, like, raw turkeys before, but those things are heavy as hell.
Oh, the frozen ones?
Yeah. Those things weigh a ton. And I have to, like, triple bag every single one of them when they come up because it is so easy for those plastic bags to just rip open from the sheer weight of those things. But yeah, and it's just, it's been crazy busy, you know, just all of it. And
yeah,
man, it's almost unbearable at times. Like, it's just, there are times I walk into work and it's just, it takes me a few minutes to even get to like the time end clock because there's just so many people. You know, fortunately, the day before Thanksgiving, I don't have to work long. I've only got like a short 4-hour shift and it's later in the evening. So hopefully it won't be that bad, but it's still the day before Thanksgiving. So, I mean, we're probably going to have people right up to the very last minute when we have to close the store. And the thing is, we have to like start turning people away from the door at like 10:57 so we can actually close the store and have everybody leave at the same time. And you have no idea how people can be such entitled pricks when you tell them that we're closed and it's like 2 minutes before 11.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's infuriating. Which is why I try to do everything I can to make sure I'm not the person who has that responsibility. Because I get so many people trying to gaslight me, trying to let them into this grocery store. I'm like, look, it's not my fault that you waited till the last damn minute to try and come in and buy groceries, man.
That's where you got to be fueled by pettiness.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you fucked up, not me.
Yeah. You know, you want to do that shit, go to Walmart. They're open 24 hours, not us. But yeah, so that was my week, more or less. So do you have anything you want to add before we move on?
Nope.
All righty then. Well, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Rant. And so, Chris, when you were like growing up in high school and you were like in history class and you talked about famous people like, say, George Washington, and you think in your head, you know what George Washington looks like in your head, right?
Yeah. Sees all of our money.
yeah, he's all over our money. There's a bunch of pictures of him, statues. You have this idea. It's like, okay. And keep in mind, all those images were mostly made when he was like middle age or older, right? So he's got like the white hair and, you know, his face. He's got some wrinkles on his face. And he has that weird bulge thing happening in his mouth because he's wearing like his spare pair of dentures that make his lips bulge out and everything. So, yeah, you have this idea. But then, of course, you go further back in history and it starts getting a little vague. Like, okay, Leonardo da Vinci. Fortunately, we know what da Vinci looked like because he did a couple of self-portraits. You know, it's, and so when you think Leonardo da Vinci, you've got an image of your head. He's, you know, he's got like a giant beard going down. He's wearing that hat on his head, you know. But then you go further back to, say, Julius Caesar, for example. Now, fortunately, we know what Julius Caesar more or less looked like because, you know, he was one of the first, he was basically the first dictator in perpetuum in Roman history. So there's a bunch of images on him that were made during his lifetime. So we have an idea. Then it gets vaguer when you go to someone like, say, Cleopatra. We have like maybe one image of Cleopatra that we think is of her. And it's of a coin on like a piece, of, like a coin that was pressed with her portrait on it. And it's not very good. It's kind of rough. And so like what we think Cleopatra looks like is very vague. But then you have this instance where you say a person's name and you instantly know what that person probably looks like. But then you find out that, no, you actually don't. And here's one of those cases. William Shakespeare. Now, when I say the name William Shakespeare, you have a pretty good idea of what you think William Shakespeare looks like, right? He's got that huge forehead. He's got a mustache and a little beard. You know, he's got his hair sort of slicked to the side. He's wearing like a fancy, you know, Elizabethan dress with like the fancy collar and everything.
Yeah, I think of the zombie Shakespeare from The Simpsons.
Yeah, pretty close. Here's the thing. We only have like two real sources of anything that where we think Shakespeare actually looked like. The first is an engraving that was put on the cover of the First Folio, which was the first collection of his plays that were printed. And the thing was, he actually had been dead for 6 years when that folio was printed. And the only reason we know that this image of him is somewhat accurate is because one of the guys that knew and worked with him for years, this guy named Benjamin Johnson, he looked at the plate that the engraving would be made with, and he said, yeah, that's pretty much how he looked. And so that's basically it. The other thing we have is this sculpture that was used to put on his grave in England. And it also kind of sort of resembles that image from the folio. That's literally it. Nothing that any other image of Shakespeare that we have is a guesstimate coming from the image of that folio. All the paintings, including that one famous painting you've probably seen a million times, that one was commissioned years after his death. All of the other images are basically based in and around that. Now, here's where it gets even weirder. There's actually no way that we can go back and reconstruct what he looks like for a couple of reasons. So, first things first, Shakespeare is buried at, he is buried at Holy Trinity Church at Stratford-upon-Avon, where he was born. And at that grave, he's buried next to his wife, Anne Shakespeare, originally her name, Anne Hathaway. No, I'm not making that up. That was really her name. Also, one of his colleagues, Thomas Nash, who he worked with, and the husband of his granddaughter are all buried together. And on his grave, there's this weird, ominous poem that was printed on top of it. And it goes like this. It says, good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones. So basically, everybody is terrified of digging up this guy's body because they're terrified there might be a curse. Also because the people who run the church have basically refused any attempts to actually dig up this guy's bones to do any kind of DNA testing. So basically, archaeologists have had to improvise, and they decided to do radar imaging. And you know what they found out? His head is missing. There's definitely a body down there. They've got all the bits in his bones are down there, but his head is missing. It turns out he was actually grave robbed back in 1798, and somebody stole his head, and there's no idea where it is. So we can't even get his head and try and reconstruct what his face is using his skull. Isn't that just the craziest shit? Shakespeare is like the man who is like central to the modern English canon of literature and culture, and we barely have any idea about the man's history or even his, you know, what he looked like. It's all based on guesswork. Well, we do know some things. Like, we know, like, there was, like, okay, this is, like, the one thing from his life that most people remember. Okay, so, originally, Shakespeare had, like, an acting troupe that he went with, and most people know this as the Kingsmen. Well, they weren't originally the Kingsmen. They didn't become the Kingsmen until the king himself sort of became their patron. Originally, they were called the Lord Chamberlain's men, because the Lord Chamberlain was their patron. And then the guy who was their landowner for the theater they had there, he basically withdrew the lease and kicked them out. So Shakespeare and members of the Kingsmen, they snuck out the dead of night, they broke into the theater, and they literally stole the entire theater. I mean that literally. They brought tools with them, and they took it apart piece by piece in the dead of night, then took the whole theater, moved it down the river, and then they set up what will become the Globe Theater. That's like one of the few things about William Shakespeare's life we know for certain, and that's just crazy. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right, so with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to show proper, and as always with the show proper, we have to start off with the assholes of the week. And our first asshole of the week involves the story that everybody is still talking about because it's still ongoing. So Israeli troops finally managed to enter the Al-Shifa hospital, which they had been bombing incessantly because they had been claiming that Hamas had set up a network or a headquarters or someone down there. And they did finally manage to get into it this week. Problem is, they only found like a small cache of weapons, like nothing large enough that they could have, you know, used to, you know, arm an entire cell, basically.
Yeah, to justify the shellacking of this area.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it was like 10 guns and some other assorted stuff stored in an MRI room.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yeah, that would not have happened if it was functional. Mm-hmm. During the start of all this, because, you know, they don't turn off MRI machines intentionally, mm-hmm. in any sort of scenario. So it's when the power turned off that anybody would have been able to put any sort of weapons in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I think also included just a random assortment of shit, like a box of dates.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? This is what you're showing us, like, here's our hall.
Yeah.
Here, like the way cops do it here when they catch a bunch of weed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That looks real stupid.
Yeah.
In a sense. So, yeah, very much is like, yeah, sure. Whatever you say. Because I suppose this includes some huge network of tunnels and all this.
Mm-hmm.
That is how they've been able to get around this whole hospital area, mm-hmm. and the buildings around it that they kept claiming was this hotspot of Hamas activity, and it's like, I don't know, maybe it was at some point, but it just seems like random people hold up here before, you know, shit went down, and then they decided to hightail it somewhere else. So either they were right and then blew the cover to unveil this as like a big secret thing, or they were just making it up as a reason to bomb it.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been constantly their MO.
Hmm.
Especially because now there's more reporting about the initial attack of Israel by Hamas, and that They didn't even know that there was a concert going on there,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And when Israeli responded with helicopters to attack, the Israelis, you know, killed a number of the people mm-hmm. on their own at that concert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that the Israelis have killed a number of the hostages they've been trying to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a, I don't, it seems like they don't give a shit about their own people.
Mm-hmm.
If it's gives them an opportunity to get back at Hamas and the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. That stuff just seems like more awful shit happening. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
Israel isn't making much progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just kind of sitting here wondering, like, when does the U.S. just tell them, like, hey, you tried, but you know, you're not getting anywhere with this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it keeps getting a little bit stupider with this next one. So there's been this, people have been saying it's a trend, but honestly, I've only seen this come up like once or twice. Supposedly, TikTokers have been reading Osama bin Laden's manifesto that he released after 9/11. And yeah. People are putting it up like, oh, I was so shocked and horrified by what he revealed, and I'll never be the same way again. I'm convinced that this is some sort of algorithm bullshit. Because, first of all, I read his manifesto years ago, and it doesn't exactly, like, the whole thing is, like, he makes it clear, he's an asshole, you know? He wants to impose his incredibly fundamentalist and authoritarian form of Islam on everyone. And, you know, the stuff about, like, you know, America's foreign policy and all that stuff comes up later. Like, yeah. Long after you would have been turned off by all the bullshit that he front loads it with. And that's even if he's the guy who actually authored it. It's never been confirmed that he actually wrote this thing.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, you know, like one of those chain email things that started circulating a few years after 9/11, back when that was a thing that still happened.
Yeah. It's a weird situation, especially as it's not been like a huge trend. Mm-hmm. As far as
I've only seen like maybe 3 or 4 TikToks that has shown up.
Yeah. They've also been taking them down because they're, you know, wanting to avoid any real controversy here.
Yeah.
As there already is a lot of controversy just being a Chinese owned social media company, and how much, you know, people are addicted to it.
Yeah.
Watching all the videos and making them and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they supposedly there were fewer than 300 videos using the hashtag Letter to America
mm-hmm.
that garnered around 2 million views by this mm-hmm. past Wednesday. You know, a platform that has an estimated 1.6 billion monthly active users.
Mm-hmm.
And they compare it to some, you know, general gym or travel hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers are much bigger than that. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, people highlighting this on Twitter, doing that. And yeah, it's kind of a whole thing here where it's like these people are supposedly reading it and being like, oh, I never realized, you know, all this, that he's kind of right about some things
mm-hmm.
and all this. And it's like, I guess, like, if you listen to anybody that was protesting or talking about
mm-hmm.
the 9/11 and the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq and all that, it's like, you're going to learn the exact same things then.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like, some people are like, this puts, you know, the Israel stuff in a whole new light. It's like, sure, but also, you're saying that, you know, this guy who's caused a lot of chaos in the world
mm-hmm.
and done awful things, like, he's got points. And it's like, when do you get to Mein Kampf and be like, yep, this guy's not wrong about things? And it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Because I believe the manifesto has a lot of anti-Semitic stuff in it.
Oh, God. And yes, all that. And it's a lot stuff.
Yeah, it's like, and it seems like a certain kind of influencer that's willing to do anything to seem, you know, smart on this, maybe get ahead of a potential trend, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem like that trend has led anywhere
mm-hmm.
Noteworthy, and just made all these people look like complete idiots.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is where we're at in this whole Israel, Hamas, Palestine thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, also, TikTok also has a problem with, like, a bunch of Holocaust denial shit showing up every so often, so...
Yeah, but that's always the thing that's going on.
Yeah, that's, like, all social media, unfortunately. Speaking of which, I don't know why I'm surprised by this, but here we go. Elon Musk has stepped in it again. He was promoting the anti-Semitic Great Replacement Theory on Twitter, and now it's gotten so bad that advertisers are basically pulling advertisement from Twitter left and right.
Yeah, it's...
And, like, it's not, it's not even, like, something you can misconstrue. It's...
No.
Like, it's this guy puts on, like, somebody asks, like, hey, Twitter, what do you think of Hitler? And this guy does this long-ass screed about how rich Jews are trying to, you know, bring in blah, 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 blah. And Elon Musk posts definitely right under it, you have said the unvarnished truth. And it's like, there's no way to misconstrue this. Like,
yeah,
there is no plausible deniability.
Yeah, either he meant what he did, or he does like everybody does and reads, you know, a sentence or two and then says, like, yep, you're right. And did it to the worst possible thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, and even that excuse doesn't work because the anti-Semitic shit comes up in the first two sentences.
Yeah, we know he is an idiot.
Yeah.
He's not rich because he's smart. He's rich just because of pure luck of the places that he found himself in.
Yeah.
PayPal and all that before they got big, and then investing into Tesla as they were going to get big.
Yeah.
And all that. And yeah, he's an idiot. He's essentially co-signed this whole message here for this. And yeah, I believe he has claimed he's going to sue
Media Matters.
Yeah, Media Matters for and calling this out.
That is not going to go well for him.
Yeah.
Because if he does go through with that threat, and there's a good 50-50 chance he's just bullshitting, they're going to be able to do discovery, and that means they're going to drag all that shit out in the open and for everybody to see.
Yeah, it's a thing that is like trying to sue the ADL for defamation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're definitely not doing that. So they're pointing out the problems on Twitter.
Yeah.
There for that. And yeah, it's a whole thing. But yeah, a lot of companies have supposedly pulled their X campaigns. And it's like, I guess it took something, but geez, this guy's been doing this for the last year. But good job to Apple and IBM and these other companies, because, you know, they're, ad stuff is not great about, you know, figuring out what's, you know, questionable material and not putting stuff near it. They just do whatever, because that's what their ad stuff is supposed to do, is get it out there.
Yeah.
Not find the best content to put it near.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll see if this goes anywhere, but, yeah, at least the White House has at least called them out on it. So I don't know if we're going to get anything out of it, or just people being mad at him for example number, you know, 803 of Elon Musk is a you know, questionable person that runs one of the most important social media services in the world. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with that, we can fortunately move on to the heroes of the week. We do have some good news. The House and the Senate did finally manage to approve a stopgap spending bill to fund the government into early 2024. I think it's until February.
I believe it is two parts.
Yeah.
That's why it's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it passed the House and the Senate, mostly thanks to the Democrats in the House. Because there are a long line of amendments to it that would have, you know, stripped funding from a lot of important stuff. And Mike Johnson just kind of pushed it through as is all that stuff got voted down. But yeah, this, let's see, funds four federal agencies until January 19th of next year, and the rest until February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly to give Congress more time to negotiate long-term spending bills.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen, and across the board, spending cut of 1% hits all agencies in April.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the House has passed 7, and the Senate has approved 3.
Mm.
So, yeah, this is a weird thing, but I guess it kicks it down the road a couple more months for the House to figure out its shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, yeah, there you go.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, they are the heroes of the week for doing their jobs, I guess, which is just the bare minimum, but
yeah,
that's where we are right now.
Fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that has been the show proper. It's now to move on to the proper show proper, where we talk about the rest of this shit. And the first story we got tonight is that the Supreme Court, for the first time in history, has adopted its own code of ethics. Don't get excited, though, because it's self-enforced.
Yeah, all 9 justices signed on to the new code, which is instantly criticized for lack of an enforcement mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all that really needs to be said. It probably has some good ideas in it, but without any real enforcement, it should be considered a platitude at best. The things that they keep finding themselves into, mostly Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the RV thing was a whole weird thing where he got a loan to buy it, and then the rich guy that gave him the loan said, like, don't worry about it. Forgave the loan. Essentially, it's like, oh, that's not great. It's like a 200-something thousand dollar RV. And it's like, yep, okay, that's fucked up. Like everything else that's we've found out about him and his propensity to take free stuff from all the rich people that bring stuff before his court. So there you go.
Yeah. Next up, Representative George Santos has been an endless fountain of humor and bullshittery, announced that he will not be running for re-election. And there was an ethics report that finally released this week to show us all the reasons why he will not and should not.
Yeah. He's doing this whole weird thing where, let's see, I think he basically saying, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, none of this stuff, let's, yeah, I don't think I have this quote here, but he was basically like, none of this stuff is true, but it's taken a toll on me and my family, so I'm not going to be running for re-election kind of thing. And then, yeah, people started looking into this report and seems to allege a lot of willful spending, bad spending of campaign funds on a lot of weird stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Especially a lot of like Trumpian, like, loaning money to your campaign to then get back later, and maybe more than you were supposed to, all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe this stuff is part of that investigation as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on, the criminal investigation and all that. And it's like, yep, this looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, then he's also said that he is, let's see, he's going to be holding a press conference here's the statement he said. It is a disgusting politicized smear that shows the depths of how low our federal government has sunk. Mm-hmm. Everyone who participated in this grave miscarriage of justice should all be ashamed of themselves.
Mm.
I will, however, not be seeking re-election for a second term in 2024, as my family deserves better than to be under the gun from the press all the time.
Mm.
And it's like, you literally signed up for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you thought that you and your family wouldn't be under the gun all the time from the media, you should not get into politics. That's the part of the whole thing. But yeah, he's supposedly going to hold a press conference to show something that will make everybody feel bad for the all this investigation stuff. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, okay. whatever. You gonna tell us where that baby came from?
Mm-hmm.
Whose baby that was that he was running out of a room with?
Mm.
Then ask people not to ask him about the baby. So yeah, it's a whole weird thing, but he's gonna go fuck off and then maybe he'll get some charges and go to prison like he deserves. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So next up, there was this weird point where the House of Representatives were trying to impeach the Homeland Security. I mean, the Homeland Secretary, Mayorkas, but the Dems managed to force it to committees, which basically means it's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, weird whole thing led by Marjorie Taylor Greene,
mm-hmm.
forcing a vote on impeaching Mayorkas to the floor through a rule that allows any single member to force a snap vote on resolutions, including constitutional matters such as impeachment. 8 Republicans joined with Democrats to vote 209 to 201 to send a resolution to committees for possible consideration. Like any other bill, they are no obligation to do anything on there.
Mm.
So yeah, likely just save them from doing something stupid here as, yeah, they're only doing this because of immigration.
Mm.
So it's because the borders are so wide open that, you know, they got to impeach this guy. So, yeah. There you go. That's the dumb bullshit they tried to pull, and the Democrats basically said, no. No, we're good.
Yeah. Then this weird shit happened. So, there was a committee hearing with the head of the Teamsters Union. And Senator Mullen, he got into this weird bit where he was apparently challenging the guy to a fist fight. Like, yeah. On the floor of the House, on the floor, and, like, Senator Bernie Sanders, of all people, had to get between them to stop it from happening.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the time, this is the place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be 2 consenting adults, we can finish it here.
Yeah, which is hilarious, because it's like, are you sure you want to fight me, or something else?
Yeah, it's a whole weird thing after he read, like, tweets that the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters sort of had sent to him.
Yeah.
With some charged language, whatever, but he very much seemed to take offense to that stuff, mm-hmm. so much so that he, you know, had him printed out and brought to this, this whole thing here. So yeah, this is some weird shit that happened as, I guess this guy is a frequent critic of union leadership. So, you know, always a good to go after the Teamsters, because aren't they the ones that took down Capone?
The Teamsters are a for the, like, truck drivers. They're the guys that Jimmy worked for.
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa, that's right.
Yeah, and Jimmy Hoffa is, of course, dead and buried somewhere. We've never been able to find his body. But the point is, the Teamsters do not screw around. They are one of the most hardcore labor unions in the United States, and they are willing to throw down if need be.
Yeah.
So, like, these guys are made of, like, roughneck, like, Irish American New Yorkers and stuff like that. And yeah, this guy's, like, showy, performative masculinity is not
going to carry. Bernie Sanders had to tell him to shut up and sit down. So here, this is a hearing, and God knows the American people have enough contempt for Congress. Mm-hmm. Let's not make it worse.
Yeah.
So yeah, this, just in case you need to know, that the Senate is not immune to jerks.
Oh yeah.
That have been power tripping assholes. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So that happened. It's funny because, like, I know some people are like, that type of behavior, it would bring dishonor upon the Senate. And I'm like, we had stuff like this happen before. Famously, Senator Preston Scott beat the ever-loving hell out of what's-his-name after he gave a very fiery anti-slavery speech and nearly beat him to death with a cane. And of course, you got other countries like, say, you know, the UK, where sure, blows may not really happen all the time. Damn, do they scream like crazy at each other And of course, if you're looking for blows, you can just go to Taiwan, where they beat the living hell out of each other all the time. Like, it's almost a stereotype at this point. But yeah, it was a load of crap. Next up, Tim Scott has announced that he is suspending his campaign for president. I'm wondering why.
Yeah, much like every other GOP candidate, they're not doing enough, or doing well enough to keep going. And Tim Scott's very much the guy who's tried to be the bigger man candidate, and that's not going to cut it, especially when he's very much milquetoast on everything else he does. So yeah, that's a whole thing there. But this will be the last you see of him running for president anytime soon. So there you go.
Yep, true. So yeah. yeah. So next up, the MLB, the Major League Baseball team owners have approved the Oakland Athletics planned move to Las Vegas. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their owner's going to get to do whatever he wants, which is to move the Oakland A's to Las Vegas. So yeah, second time that the second relocation of a baseball team in the past half century.
Mm-hmm.
And another blow for their Oakland sports fans.
Yeah.
They lost the Raiders a few years ago, and now we're going to lose the Athletics.
Yeah.
We've always played at sort of a disadvantage from their ownership. They don't spend money on players or anything. Usually they're often sellers. That's the whole reason why they made that movie Moneyball, is they figured out it's a way to use stats to find players on the cheap that would be perfect for, you know, what they were trying to do there. But especially of late, they've been letting any quality player they have go, trade them, whatever. Has made them a miserable team to watch. And they still play in that old baseball or football stadium there that they dress up and block off huge sections of the stadium because they don't get enough of an audience to need it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fans have been wanting him to just sell the team.
Yeah.
Somebody that would be willing to keep it there and invest in them. But unfortunately, he's getting rewarded for the persistence there.
Yeah. And then we got this bit of news from Iceland. There is a volcano over there, and it is below at any moment now.
Yeah. They had hundreds of earthquakes going on there for a while. It seems like that has cooled down a bit, though not necessarily temperature-wise, as people have figured out there's some lava stuff happening. Yeah, bulges in the land have appeared as magma moves up into the Earth's crust. Yeah, earthquakes have decreased in frequency in the past couple of days, but the Icelandic Met Office said on Wednesday's probability of an eruption was still considered high. So they have evacuated a bunch of people from the area. And yeah, as of November 10th, a 14.4 kilometer, about 9 mile magma-filled crack unexpectedly and suddenly formed between 2 to 5 kilometers beneath the peninsula, running from the southwest northeast. Yeah. Formation occurred alongside a new cluster of earthquakes. So, yeah, this is going to be a heck of a thing when it happens, but I just don't think it has happened yet as of this taping. So, yeah, there's a number of volcano stuff that's kind of happening here. There's like one that's forming some new land outside of Japan. And there's talk about Mount St. Helens getting some activity here, potentially, which that would be a bad thing to happen. As the last time it happened, not great still. A bunch of people died and caused a lot of chaos for a couple of weeks there across the north. In northwest of the U.S. There's a lot of that ash fell across much of the U.S.
Yes. Yes, it did.
That was before we were born. So,
Yeah. So, yeah, people are getting ready for it. Seeing what it's going to do. But yeah, now we're moving on to the entertainment portion of the show. We start off with some kind of good news. Last week we talked about how Warner Brothers had axed yet another project that was on its way to completion. Well, I say axed, more like they were going to shelve it, called Coyote versus Acme, which was basically a movie where Wile E. Coyote was going to sue Acme Corporation and bring them to court because he keeps buying all their products and they keep blowing up on him. And this ended up getting like an outcry that apparently Warner Bros. Discovery just said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and shop it to other studios after this project's finished.
Yeah. Let the people running that project find new distributors.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of wild to have like a new Warner Bros., you know, Looney Tunes movie.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, Warner Brothers doesn't want this.
Yeah.
You know, one of the brands that made Warner Brothers what it is. They're talking to distributors. I'm sure we'll find out at some point what happens, but
yeah,
it's a whole thing here.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's at least some good. This film might actually see the light of day. Sadly, we can't say the same for, you know, Batgirl or some of their other stuff. Anyway, a new Ted series will be debuting on Peacock on January 11th. This, of course, is based on the Ted movies from Seth MacFarlane. The first Ted movie was actually pretty decent. It was actually pretty funny. The sequel, not so much.
Yeah, it's... I didn't see the sequel. I just saw the first one. But yeah, looks like it's going to be taking place like canonically right after his original show ended.
Yeah.
As I think he's like an elf-like figure.
Mm-hmm.
Set in 1993, the series began as Ted the Bear's moment of fame had passed.
Mm-hmm.
He's now living back home in Framingham, Massachusetts, with his best friend, 16-year-old John Bennett, along with John's parents, Maddie and Susan, and cousin Blair.
Mm.
Ted may be a lousy influence on John, but at the end of the day, he's a loyal pal who's always willing to go out on a limb for friendship. So, like that kind of thing there. But, this will be on Peacock and all that. So, yeah, you'll be able to check it out. And it seems like it could be pretty solid. There's like an Instagram trailer of sorts here.
Mm-hmm.
Where, Ted is writing to his future self.
Mm-hmm.
30 years later. About like things that would happen, and you know, future Ted is like, well, that was right, but this wasn't. Seems all right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, kind of wild that all of his Seth MacFarlane stuff gets set in like the New England area.
Mm-hmm.
His Family Guy's in Rhode Island.
Yeah,
and this is in Massachusetts. I figure American Dad is. I think it's just DC.
Mm-hmm.
Since he has to be near where all that stuff is happening. But
yeah,
that's the one outlier. But yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got another bit of news here. Dead Boy Detective series is now moving from Max to Netflix after Max's new DC directive. So
yeah, this is like a fringe DC series that's, I imagine most people don't know too much about, but I guess it's a Neil Gaiman and Matt Wagner series.
Yeah, it's related to Sandman.
The
two detectives were some part characters from like the English boy school story arc in one of the comics. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was originally ordered a series at Max back in April of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And things happened to cause them to say, maybe we shouldn't make this.
Yeah,
it was reported earlier this year that it would be moving to Netflix due to the fact that it did not fit the new direction for Max DC content. And so, yeah, that's good to see. It's going to still happen.
Mm-hmm.
8-episode series. So, yeah, it looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And we now have news that Netflix has officially announced Terminator anime series.
Yeah, Terminator the anime series.
Mm-hmm.
Just going matter of fact with the name there.
Yep.
But that could be neat. The Terminator sequels and whatnot seems to be like a 50-50 thing.
Mm-hmm.
After two. Three is pretty good.
Yep.
Genesis was not good. I guess the fourth one with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Then there was another one that brought Arnold back. Mm-hmm. That one wasn't good. And then they did the most recent one that was very good. So, yeah, it's kind of a up and down franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dark Fate was the most recent one that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe this one will be good. We got a little, not really even a teaser for it, just like, yeah, who is it? Production IG is going to be working on it.
Yep. So which is like cool. Already, that's already a good sign.
Yeah. So. It'll be taking place on August 30th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Which I forget if that's the.
Pretty sure that's the like near the date where.
The initial one that they're trying to prevent in Terminator 2.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like the day, around the day when Skynet officially wakes up and starts doing shit. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that could be neat.
Mm.
We'll see how it goes when it's out sometime in the date yet. So, okay, so we'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, always expect a James Cameron franchise to go anime at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is actually something that might actually work. Let's hope it does. And now, of course, we come to the part of the show where we just have a ton of trailers to talk about. First, we got an official trailer for Percy Jackson and the Olympians. And already from the very beginning, it just looks so much better than the movie ever did.
Yeah. Looks like it could be pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, Rick Riordan is like actually in on making this, so...
Yeah.
It'll actually... It looks like it'll actually work.
Yeah. So, that's going to be... when is that out? December 20th. They're putting out the first two episodes on day one, so you can check those out.
Yeah.
In about a month from now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then we got an official trailer for season two of Marvel What If, which is, this is their animated series where they come up with, like, some alternate scenarios for some of the famous parts of Marvel's canon.
Yeah, and it's somewhat of them like testing out potential new series.
Mm-hmm.
As like the Marvel Zombies thing from the first season is going to be spun out into its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're going to get some of that here. They are doing something interesting where it's going to be coming to Disney Plus on December 22nd with them putting out a new episode every day for 9 consecutive days leading up to the end, you know, New Year's Eve. So that's cool. So yeah, looks pretty neat. And yeah, the weird thing is you think they're all like unrelated what ifs, but they find ways to tie them back into the MCU stuff. As I think the first season kind of tied into that recent Doctor Strange movie. So yeah, you'll get some stuff like that.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see that. We also have got an official trailer for Netflix's sequel to Chicken Run. Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Yep. Where the chickens have been living a free life on an island. Maybe not too far from where they escaped the farm. And yeah, I guess the two main characters from the original one have a chicken, a hen, whatever, named Nuggets that decides to go out on their own and gets caught up in the new chicken farm that the evil people from the first movie have been going on.
Yeah.
Which seems to be like some indoctrination thing to make their new product, chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
So yeah, that looks like that's neat. That'll be out December 15th. And you'll have no Mel Gibson in this, so you can enjoy it all you want.
Yep, Yes, thank goodness he is nowhere to be found. So, yeah. Then we also got an official Netflix's Pokemon Concierge, which, boy, this actually looks really good.
Yeah, it's their stop-motion series based around a girl named Haru who has been hired in. Mm-hmm. And her buddy Psyduck are sort of working with a bunch of Pokemon, helping them relax on this resort and just kind of having fun, like slice of life problems and fun times and all that. So looks really nice. That'll be out, December 28th. So you can check that out later this year, about a month and a half from now.
Yeah. Sounds good. And we also got an official trailer for Netflix's Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, which is the original, quote unquote, sci-fi concept created by, who was it?
Zack Snyder.
It was originally supposed to be a Star Wars property, and boy does it show, but...
Yeah. It also has that... I don't know, just unfiltered style that he has. Where you're like, I don't know what is really going on here other than there's bad guys and good guys and they want to stop the other one and okay, sure.
Yeah.
There's like a Zack Snyder nonsense that he has dealt with in a lot of his original stuff since 300.
Oh yeah.
Where you're like, this is kind of incomprehensible. And it's supposed to be two-parters, too. So, yeah, we'll get this out December 22nd. I think the other one's supposed to be, like, early next year. So I'll probably check it out, but I don't know that I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
Depending on how long this is.
I mean, it looks interesting. I'll give it that, you know.
Yeah. He's good at style. It's whether the substance behind it makes it worthwhile. Yeah.
We'll see, I guess. But I have no idea. We'll see where it goes. Then we got an official trailer for a movie. And I know you're thinking, wait, they already made a couple of Garfield movies. This is a new one. Yeah, supposed to have like an origin story and everything.
Yeah, it's a CG movie.
Yeah.
Kids movie. So it inevitably starts off with Garfield as a kitty. Who's sort of a stray, I guess. But... happens to be near an Italian restaurant and smells the food and comes in and John Arbuckle's eating the pizza by himself because why not? Because
he's John Arbuckle.
Yeah.
He is the perennial forever alone gentleman.
It's like, why don't you get that pizza to go, buddy? But Garfield like wanders in and eats all of it.
Yep.
And then they're like, he grows up and he continues eating all the food.
Yep.
And all that.
He's Garfield. That's...
Yep. And it's voiced by Chris Pratt, not trying to do like a classic Garfield voice.
No.
Which is a deeper voice. He's just Chris Pratt. Which is like fine, whatever. But runs into a street cat named Vic that's supposedly his dad. Voiced by Sam Jackson.
Yep.
So that's weird.
Then
Odie hangs out with them for all the chaos of that. Entails and
Odie is a lot sassier than I remember him being.
Yeah.
Like, isn't the joke that Odie is just like, unlike Garfield, who's like semi intelligent, Odie is just a dumb dog who's cool with doing whatever?
Yeah, but this is a modern CG movie.
Yeah.
So everybody has to have a personality and attitude. So, you know, that's a whole thing. But yeah, that's how it's. In theaters next year, May 24th. So yeah, the Jim Davis empire continues to grow.
Yeah. And finally, last but not least, Madam Web, which is another Marvel movie. Tell that it's coming to a point where they're trying to branch out and try more different kinds of things because the mainline Marvel movies have not been doing very well lately.
Yeah, at least for the Sony stuff, for their they got their Spider-Man stuff. That's all well and good, but they're trying to dip into the other sort of villains and, you know, somewhat notable characters that wouldn't necessarily fit.
Yeah,
as just a main Spider-Man villain in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to continue to keep trying that. And yeah, this is Madame Web, a character you probably don't know.
She's more obscure.
Yeah. And I guess it's like a role that like Spider-Woman tends to roll into
occasionally. At some point. Yeah.
With some of the original Spider-Women
mm-hmm.
of sorts that they, you know, this one here becomes clairvoyant to the mm-hmm. future, is able to see into the future, and that causes her some weird shit to happen. So,
mm-hmm.
and the weird thing is, like, you know, like what, you know, they have this whole thumbnail of her with the webs, the spider mm-hmm. webs, and like, you have no inkling from this trailer that she has anything other than this, like, ability to see the future.
Yeah.
There's no, like, superpower to this or anything
mm-hmm.
that she gets. Maybe she gets bitten by a spider or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird trailer.
It's very weird.
And yeah, I don't think they have a date on this. They're just like, coming soon. It's like, okay.
Mm.
Whatever that means. So yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, with that, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. Yeah, that we do. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want to share on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in our show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any aggregator that you can think of. And, yeah, we're going to go ahead and wind it down here. If you like what you heard, please do not hesitate to share it with your friends, your family, casual acquaintances, or your mortal enemies, or anyone in between. Hell, why don't you bring it up with your relatives during Thanksgiving this year? I mean, would it make it any worse than it already is? Yeah, that's going to be my Thanksgiving joke for this year. So yeah, other than that, please have a safe and happy Thanksgiving next week. We will see you all after all that's over and when they have immediately started playing. I mean, seriously, like the second after Thanksgiving ends, they will immediately start playing Christmas music 24 hours. So, you know, just go ahead and guard yourself for that because, yeah, you're going to be hearing sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and don't flash fry turkeys, especially not in the house.
Well, yeah, do that outside and, you know, follow one of those YouTube tutorials on it. You know, don't just dump a big turkey into a boiling pot.
Frozen turkey in there.
You're just going to burn shit. Good night, everybody.